Today's podcast episode is one of a series of podcast episodes I recorded with my husband, Max Story, on a book that we co-wrote together, Change Happens, Leading Yourself and Others Through Change. I know you'll enjoy the leadership principles that Mac brings to the Fearfully and Wonderfully Me podcast, so be sure to follow Mac on social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, or Twitter at Max Story. Or subscribe to the Blue Collar Leadership podcast for more on the leadership principles that Mac teaches. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's episode on Change Happens. This is the sixth episode that Mac and I are doing in a series on our book, Change Happens, Leading Yourself and Others Through Change. And today's episode is all about if you snooze, you will lose. So I'd love to just start off by sharing a quote. Jerry Sternin said, "It's easier to act your way into a new way of thinking than to think your way into a new way of acting." Mac, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think we put too much thought into a lot of things. And so because of that, we never do it. We think our way out of it instead of thinking our way into it, instead of just doing it. And, you and I have had a lot of transformation. We went through a lot of change. We made a lot of changes. And I remember when I quit drinking alcohol, you know, I did a lot of thinking about it. Over the years, I thought about it, and I'd stop, and I'd start back, and that sort of stuff. And mainly it was because of my thinking. But when I truly stopped, my behavior really changed. I changed who I was as a person. And because of my values, I started behaving different. I started acting different. It wasn't just about thinking about it. And I started acting different because of, I started choosing to hang around different people. And because when I stopped, the first thing that happened was people didn't say, "Hey, I'm glad you stopped," or they were proud of me or anything like that. My friends, the people around me, they basically just said, "Have one last one with us." That's the way it works a lot of times when you start really changing your behavior. So when you're just thinking about things, only you know what you're thinking about, unless you voice it to someone else and share your thoughts with someone. The moment you change your behavior, everybody who's watching can see it.
So, I think that this chapter is so relevant for me because I can remember early in my career when changes would happen at the workplace or at the organization where I was working or something like that. And I was resistant to it. And I can remember specific times of the course of my career where I missed out on opportunities or missed out on increasing my influence because essentially I didn't want the change. And so I was snoozing. I was like, if I just pretend that change isn't going to happen, then maybe it won't. Right. And I think a lot of us do that, not intentionally, but we are resistant to change. And I think it's important for us to realize that regardless of our wishes, change is going to occur in life, at work and at home. And, we've said this before, but anytime change is occurring, there are both challenges and opportunities. And I know I'm one of those people who I missed out on some opportunities early in my career, early in my journey, because I didn't realize how powerful it could be when I stopped trying to maintain the status quo in my world and started, accepting that change is going to happen. So, what does that mean to you? I mean, have you seen that throughout your experience that someone who's quicker to grasp the opportunities is able to leverage them better?
Absolutely. The first one to embrace those opportunities, they get noticed, especially from the leader. I mean, and that's kind of the focus of a lot of this book is really on how to lead yourself well, but while you're at work professionally, also in your personal life. But right now I'm going to talk about it at work. Because leaders are responsible for the change. And if they don't make the change happen, they're going to lose their job. Someone else is going to get the opportunity to make something change. But the leaders are looking. They want to know who's on their team, literally, who's going to help them. And whoever steps up first, I mean, I led a lot of teams. And every team I've ever led, all the ones who want to get on board, doesn't mean they have a solution first, but it means they want to help first. And the first to help always gets the most influence out of a situation. So the person who's embracing the change, the leader sees a partner, someone who's going to help them carry out the mission. So I think it's tremendous on how it's going to allow you to leverage your influence with the leader and also other team members who actually want to change. And basically what you've done when you're the first to follow like that, if you literally have become the first follower. And often it's not the leader who really makes things happen. It's the first follower who steps up and joins the leader's mission and embraces the vision.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because we talk in the book about, making sure it's important for us to realize that we aren't entitled to the status quo. And I think as human beings, we like status quo, and that's just normal for most of us. But realizing that we're not entitled to it, you know, it's just a fact of life. The change is going to be a constant. It's going to be occurring at so many different levels. And realizing that we aren't entitled to have things stay the same. So we might as well get on board and embrace it and leverage it. And it was powerful for me when I realized that. And so when change happens, I've learned to be quicker at saying, okay, it's coming, it's happening. There's nothing we can do about it. So how can I look for the good in that situation? And, you know, I love what you said about the first person, you know, to follow that leader and step up and say, okay, I'm on board, right? That's that person that has the most opportunity to increase their influence with people who are watching, positive, valued people who are watching, particularly the leader. And, you know, there again, I know, and there are times when I've gotten it wrong where the leader made some changes in the organization I worked and I wasn't on board. I wasn't the first to embrace it. I might have been the very last person to embrace it at the end of the day.
Yeah. So, you know, for me, back in my younger years, I mean, my early, really early years in my 20s, especially, I resisted a lot of change. And even though I liked change when I was leading it, I resisted a lot of change. A lot of times it was because I didn't like the leader. Maybe I liked the change, but I didn't like the leader. So there's a lot of things going on when people resist change. So again, the title of this section is if you snooze, you will lose. And I lost a lot. And what I lost was influence. I still had a job and I still got paid and I still had all that, you know, kind of thing going on. I still had my benefits, but I didn't have a lot of influence with the leaders, the ones who were trying to transform the organization. And in the very beginning of my career, the leaders were not really trying to change or transform the organization very much. And it was just the day-to-day changes. But further into my career, when we started in that organization, we really started lean manufacturing and intentional and methodical changes to get better at productivity and quality and safety and all those kind of things. Then it became very obvious who was on board with change and who wasn't. Fortunately for me, I had grown a lot by that time and I was ready to embrace it. And I love being a part of change. And I had already learned that when I embrace the change, my influence increases with the leaders. So then I got paid more and then I got promoted more. And then I had, instead of leaders avoiding me because I was going to be resistant and moaning and groaning and whining, leaders were reaching out to me and asking my opinion. And that's what happens. When you snooze, you lose your opportunity to influence. You don't have a chance to give your opinion a lot of times because no one wants to hear it when all it is about either staying the same or resisting any change, whether it's positive or negative. And the goal is to have positive change. And a lot of times leaders get it wrong. They're trying to make a change they think is going to make a positive change, but the folks out there doing the work actually know it's not going to be a positive change. But if they've established or created a lot of distrust with the leader's never going to hear their opinion because they just simply don't want to listen to them. And because they are the boss, they don't have to listen to them. So if you want to have influence, you've got to step up. You got to embrace. You can't be snoozing because I promise you're going to be losing.
I like what you said there, because, you know, sometimes, well, it's true that change is not always for the better, right? But it's also true that if nothing changes, nothing gets better. You used to say, I love when you used to say that if everything stays the same, there's no improvement, right? If nothing changes, nothing gets better. And so absolutely, it's true that not all change is going to bring about, you know, is going to be the greatest thing or bring about the greatest benefits. But if we miss the fact that without change, there's no improvement, we miss out on just that proactive mindset shift that says, you know what, I can snooze, or I can, if I snooze, I'll lose, or I can get on board and I can, you know, get on the train and go where it's going. And I think that there again, you know, a lot of this is just learning to shift our mindset so that as we learn to be more proactive and embrace change, we are better able to leverage the opportunities. So one thing I wanted to talk about that you and I talk about in the book is 7 ways that you will lose when you snooze. And I'm a list person. I think a lot of people are, but I know I am. I love, you know, list things because they just work so good for my brain. So I love when we list out things like this. So the first thing that we talk about, and one of the 7 ways that you will lose when you snooze, is you will have less meaningful, positive influence in every direction.
Yeah, and you know, the second half of that is when your influence goes down, so does your value and your options. And, you know, my first book is Defining Influence, and the subtitle is Increasing Your Influence Increases Your Options. And when change happens, I mean, you're going to do one or the other with the people who are, again, are responsible for moving the organization forward. When change happens, you're going to decrease your influence or increase your influence. And I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is it's more important for your career than it is for that change in the moment, because everybody's watching. Everybody's watching. Everybody's going to see your behavior. It's your chance to lead, regardless if you're on the front lines or if you're a VP reporting to a CEO who's casting the vision. Doesn't matter. It's your chance to lead, but you can't lead with negative influence, not in a positive environment, in a positive direction. Obviously, you can lead with negative influence, but it's not going to help you. It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt your team. It's going to hurt your organization.
You know, I don't think I've ever thought about it like what you just said, is that as your influence goes down, so does your value. I've never really considered that. You know, one of the things we consciously or unconsciously are always trying to do is increase our influence, but one of the ways we can do that is increasing our value, right? If we're a more valuable team member or a more valuable person because we have more knowledge or more skills or more abilities or more influence, right? Then we're more valuable. And that can lead to, like you said, more opportunities, promotions, making more money. But I've never really thought about that. When we decrease our influence, again, consciously or unconsciously, we're actually decreasing our value. And we know that leads to fewer opportunities in life.
Yeah, and I'd ask the question, use the illustration that I always use. You know, imagine you had two rock stars on your team. Both of them were A players. And I may do this for some of the other 7 points here, but you can do it with all 7. I'm not literally going to do it on all 7, but I want to just set the stage right here. Imagine you have 2 rock star A players, A team players. Everything's great about them. You can't tell the difference, except one of them has positive influence with the team, with you. The other one has either no influence or negative influence with you and the team. Which one's going to be more valuable? As soon as you say everything else is equal, you can easily see that. And that's, again, the reason I have people look at it like that. Let's say you're going to give one of them a raise. Who's going to get the raise? The one with everything's equal except for the one thing. One has a lot of influence. One has either none or negative influence. Who are you going to give the raise to is common sense. Or let's say there's a business downturn in the economy, and we've been using the example of the coronavirus crisis that landed on us in 2020, and someone's got to be let go. Not everyone, but someone. One of those 2 people. Everything's the same, but one of them has positive influence. The other one either has no influence or negative influence. Who are you going to let go? You're going to let go of the one with no influence, because you, as a leader, value influence. You need someone to help you. And that person, if they don't have influence, they can't help you very much. They can do their part, but they can't influence other people to do their part. So, I mean, it's a huge deal on value. So I move on to number 2.
Yeah, you know, and I like what you just said there, because it's kind of just naturally leads into that second point, is that, and we speak to this again in the book on one of the seven ways you lose when you snooze, but one way that a decrease in influence reveals itself is when your boss or other leaders don't ask your opinion or let you know what's going on, right? You know that you don't have a lot of influence if nobody's asking for your opinions, for your thoughts.
Yep. So number two is literally you would not be asked for input. And a lot of people are mad and angry because of that one reason right there. I mean, I grew up on the front lines the first 10 years of my career, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter when I moved up and started working in the what we call the front office and was kind of in more of a white collar position, even though I still was a blue collar guy. People want to have input. And then they blame others for why they don't have input. And they don't have input because of how often on what we're talking about today on this subject, often they don't have input because of how they behave when change happens. It may be nothing other than that, because there's a lot of people, most people, they don't like change. They resist change. We talked about that a little bit. It means there's you snooze, you lose. Between me and you, Rhea, if we're on the same team and change happens and it's intended to be a positive change, and maybe it is, maybe it's not, but that's the intent of the leaders is to make positive change, and you embrace the change and I resist the change. Every moment I'm resisting it, you gain an influence on me. Mm. And it's really not a battle between me and you, but if I'm you and you're embracing change, and that was me once I learned about it, literally back in my career when I was embracing change, I was trying to get ahead. I wanted to move up. And the one thing I wanted was input. And then something else happens. So when you get the input, is it good input or bad input? You know, that's your chance to influence. And really, that's what we're talking about when we say, you know, you won't be asked for your input, meaning you won't be asked for your influence.
Mm. You know, I've seen this play out in a lot of different ways, but the one that really comes to mind is, you know, when you have, let's say, a fairly large team and one team member within the organization, say somebody from the front lines, gets promoted to the manager. And so now suddenly they're the manager or the boss of the other team members around them. And I've seen time and time again, those who didn't get selected or didn't get promoted refuse to step up and embrace the change. And ultimately, it just decreases their influence in exponentially, because they're just dragging their heels and they're just refusing to step up and embrace the change. And I've seen that play out again and again, where they just snooze when change happens, and then they ultimately lose.
Yeah, so I mean that gets us right to number three, right? Number three on the list is you will be passed over for promotion. And think about this: why would anyone responsible for leading and implementing change consider promoting someone who is resistant to change? If you're responsible for leading change, Rhea, you gonna promote someone who's resisting change ever?
No, because you are responsible for getting those changes implemented. And we already talked about, I think we touched on this in a previous episode, the most successful organizations are the ones who are able to change before they have to, right? It's all the way back to, you know, if you want to be successful as an organization or even as a person, you've got to be proactive in changing before you're forced to, because that gives you the head start and the natural advantage over those who are waiting until they absolutely have to. So why, if you're the leader of the organization and you know you've got to be proactive in changing, maybe that's new technology, right? Or a new product line for your business. But if you're responsible for leading those changes, why would you want to promote someone who's resistant to them? Like you wouldn't. That's the end of the day. At the end of the day, you wouldn't want to promote those type of persons.
So think about this, Rhea. When we talk about snoozing, you'll lose, and we're talking about change. I mean, I've seen it so many times in my career. The change is actually someone's being offered a promotion, and they turn it down. That's called being resistant to change. They turn it down. And I've seen people turn it down who would have been great in the job. The number one thing that I've heard people say when they turn it down is they don't want the responsibility. They don't want to, they want the voice, but they don't want the responsibility of having the voice. And so, you know, when you turn down a promotion, you resisting change, you snoozing, because whoever gets that promotion, they're going to have a lot of input. They're going to have a lot of influence, positive or negative. They may get there and have negative influence. So I encourage the folks to think about when you get offered that promotion. Why are you really turning it down? If it's not part of your vision and mission, and you actually have a vision and mission, and it's not part of it, probably best if you turn it down. But then you need to declare your intent, make sure everybody around you, beside you, above you, below you, knows why you turned it down. Then it'll be, the people know is you're not resistant to change because you know where you're going and what you're doing, and maybe that doesn't fit in to that mission. But if you're on the team, and it's especially people, there's a lot of people out there that don't have a vision and mission. They just go in wherever the current takes them. And I did that for a lot of years. I got a lot of promotions, and I'd take any promotion that came up because I wasn't resistant to change, especially that kind of change. And that leads us to number four. Did you have something about that, Rhea, though, before we go to four?
Yeah, we can come back to it. So let's talk about number four. Number four is you will be passed over for pay increases. The people who support and embrace change will be rewarded. Those who don't will get passed over. And, you know, it was interesting. You and I were doing a presentation. It was a virtual presentation for a group of prison wardens on leadership development. And these prison wardens were from different prisons from all across the country. And one of them commented that for years he, you know, was a corrections officer, but he didn't want a promotion. He was resistant to that. And somebody asked him, well, what made you change your mind? And he said, you know what? I didn't want the responsibility. I didn't want to be tapped as the leader because I'd had some bad experiences with poor leadership. And I didn't want that. I didn't want to be that. And finally, what made me realize I needed to change was, you know, I could be part of the problem or part of the solution. And, you know, it's always possible for someone who, you know, it's easy to blame other people for what's going on around us or other things, but that's just part of the problem, right? So when we are learning to embrace change, we're stepping up and saying, I don't want to just see the problem. I'm ready to embrace the problem and fix it, be part of the solution.
Yeah. And for me, before I started getting promotions, the first thing started happening when I was truly embracing change and quit being resistant to everything. And again, I was more resistant to people than I was the principle of what it was they were trying to accomplish. And so I had a lot of growing to do, but the first thing started happening was I started getting pay increases. And so that's kind of nice. Pay increase may not necessarily increase your influence, but if you're getting pay increases because you've increased your influence, I mean, that's a direct result. And what you said leads right into number five. And number five, again, if you snooze, you will lose. Number five, the fifth way that'll happen is you'll be seen as part of the problem instead of part of the solution. That warden you were talking about, when he was a corrections officer, there's no doubt the leaders above him saw him as part of the problem and not part of the solution. But he didn't want to be part of the solution. I mean, he told us that. He didn't want to be. He wanted to complain about it, the people who were responsible, but he didn't want to do nothing about it but complain. And, you know, we say the more you complain, the less you will obtain. And he wasn't obtaining much. He had a lot of stress, but now he's in a position. I mean, he went from the bottom of the org chart in that prison to the top of the org chart. Imagine the input. Imagine the influence. What's cool about that, though, a lot of people down at the bottom who don't want to take responsibility, because I'm telling you, I've heard so many people, they don't want the responsibility, but they won't complain about everybody who's got it. But if the people, and I'm one of those people, I grew my way up from the bottom, you know, up through the org chart, and then ultimately became a consultant. I mean, I had so much influence. I could go into an organization I didn't even work and be paid to really to lead. I was basically a hired leader, and I was paid to be part of the solution because I had so much influence and was able to influence other people. And that's what all this is about. You're leading yourself well in a way that you can lead others well. But when you climb up through the org chart from the bottom, you know what the people down there are going through. Like the stuff I'm telling you now, I know that's how people are. So it allows me to interact and influence those people in a different way because I can relate. When that prison warden talks to the frontline folks and he tells his story and he explains all that, I guarantee you, it's easier to get them on board. It's easier to get them to embrace changes that he's trying to roll out. Even if they don't want to become the warden, even if they don't want to move up, his job right now is to get them to, first thing to do is to embrace the change.
Let's talk about number six. You know, when we talk about seven ways you snooze and when you snooze, you will lose. Number six, the sixth way that that shows up is you may be demoted. And, you know, I've seen this happen throughout my career as well, where someone got promoted into a formal level of leadership, but they weren't the leader that was needed for that position. And they weren't able to influence others, like you talked about. You know, leaders have to be able to influence others. And I've seen that when that, you know, when that person got promoted and they, you know, were given certainly some time, but ultimately weren't able to influence other people, I've seen them get demoted back down to a position out of formal authority of leadership. And, you know, I'm sure that's got to be, you know, a challenge on a personal level, because ultimately you realize you were given an opportunity and you weren't prepared for it.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, that does happen. I mean, that's why we put it in the book. But I tell you, it don't happen a lot, because if you're part of the problem at one level, demote you doesn't make you stop being part of the problem. And what it does is takes away some of your influence. You already, it's an obvious and very blatant display that you're valued less, because when you get demoted, that means you're valued less, either through influence and pay or both. So that doesn't happen a lot, because true leaders understand if you're part of the problem at this level, you're going to be a part of the problem at the next level. So demoting you doesn't make you stop being a part of the problem, especially resistance to change. It just takes away your influence. So what usually happens is number seven, you may be terminated. You know, the ultimate loss of influence and value in an organization. Not only do you pay the price for your choices, but now those in your family must pay too. You know, a lot of people don't realize that. They get mad and they angry about change and that kind of stuff. And they may end up being terminated purely because they're resistant. That choice to be resistant for whatever reason, now they stop impacting their team. Their resistance doesn't have an impact on their team anymore. Now it's impacting their family. They don't have an income anymore. And when you go home and you don't have an income anymore, it impacts everybody that lives with you.
And not in a positive way. You know, just one quote that I wanted to share as we start to wrap up this episode. Hyatt and Gottlieb said, "You can have great academic intelligence and still lack social intelligence." And that's really what we're talking about. When we don't embrace change, it's a sign that we just don't have enough awareness or social intelligence about what that's doing to our influence. Because if we truly understood what it was doing to our influence and our options and our opportunities in life, we would embrace change without thinking about it, right? It's just that sometimes we aren't aware, or we don't understand the full impact of the ways that we lose when we snooze.
Yep. So we're going to wrap up today's session. Next episode, which will be part seven of this series, we're going to talk about the challenge of change. And I mean, a lot of these titles, we've been talking about it, aspects of it, you know, throughout the whole book, but each chapter we kind of hone in. And again, really encourage you to get the book, because we're just kind of talking off the cuff, unscripted, about whatever we want to talk about related to the chapter and topic we're on. But in the book, it's very, you know, we took a lot of time. Rhea did. She wrote the first chapter in each section. I wrote the second chapter in each section, and it's a lot more intentional. And again, if you're struggling with this, you definitely need the book. You need to mark it up. You need to make it a tool. You need to really think about it and reflect on it. But if you're a leader of other people, you got to understand, you can get this book, take them through a book study, and help them embrace change, help them increase their influence, help you increase your influence. Because when they get better, you get better. And a lot of leaders miss out on that. They don't really plan for change. They don't plan to help people embrace change. They just hope they will. And hope is not a good strategy.
So, all right.
Talk to you next time.
Start increasing your influence and maximizing your potential with Rhea's audiobooks. Available at audible.com, amazon.com, and iBooks. Please visit rheastory.com to learn about Rhea's books, resources, speaking, and training programs. Thanks for listening.